the board of him today.
Right.
And unganqabi. And maybe tell us about the MDDA itself. What do you know about MDDA, and what is it? What is MDDA doing? We put your CVs for public scrutiny. We didn't receive any comments from the public. However, before we do all this, we check your qualifications. We have a company that does that here. But also for vetting purposes, we check if you are not in trouble in anything. If I can wait for you. That because you must tell us this. According to CIU information, what is CIU?
What is that?
What is that? It's crime investigating unit.
Okay.
The following. Come again. It's CIU. Criminal, it's related to crime.
Mm-hmm.
The records reflect that you have a criminal record. But you can still check, use your fingerprints and all of that. They say fingerprints should be submitted to verify the record. Don't you think of anything? You know, this ranges from traffic fines and all those things, because they become a crime record.
Okay.
Do you remember of anything that, because it's here, it's quite important for us to proceed knowing what is it. If you can't remember, then fine, we'll have to check what is it, because it's not stated as to what it is.
All right. Well, when I was a little younger.
Just tell us who you are and all of that.
All right.
Don't panic because of this thing of crime.
I am a little panicked. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Bongile Kanga. I am 28 years old. I'm a media practitioner. By qualification, I have a BA in Law and Politics from Rhodes University, and I am currently an executive producer at Gauteng-based radio talk radio station Power FM. I'm an avid storyteller. I believe in undoing the single story that we seem to be consumed with in South Africa, and I think a big part of how people self-determine and self-realize is participating in how they tell their stories, how they navigate their lived experiences through their stories, how they share ideas, how they share, their lived experiences. And I think it's a very strong, well, storytelling and communications and the media are very strong platforms for people to self-determine and really change their narrative in a meaningful way.
Go to the hot one, the criminal record.
All right. So when I was a little younger, like I said, I once did have a run-in with traffic cops. I was under the influence. I didn't know that it did reflect as a record, so I'm a little taken aback and quite ashamed. So yeah, it's a bit taken me off a little bit.
Can you remember how long back?
About 4 years back, I think. About 4 years back.
Were you still were you already working at that time?
Yes.
Or you still?
Yes, I was working.
Okay. And where was it, in Johannesburg?
In Johannesburg.
Okay.
I hope this won't be televised.
No, it's on air.
Oh, goodness me. All right.
It's on air. So okay. Whatever you say, All
right, no, it's fine.
Your parents are listening, so
yeah.
if you never told them, now
no,
they
okay.
know.
It's okay.
You will have to apologize when you're out of here.
Sorry. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Honorable Mandisha, can you start?
Okay, thank you. Good
Genesis. Honorable Mandisha, how are you?
Yeah, for this position, you've got to have proper integrity.
All right.
Okay. Do you think you have?
I really do think I have.
Do you like to take it further? Because if you've got to be on the board, you've got to show values, so that can not only be within the milieu of the board itself, but it's got to cover and be seen by the very many people in our country.
Yes, sir.
Would you like to just expatiate on that?
Yes, I do. And I really do think throughout my career, I've conducted myself in a way that displays that integrity. I really honor the community that I serve. As far as my profession is concerned, I understand the sensitivities of being a media practitioner and the kind of messaging that you display. And I always try to live up to that, to those values.
Thank you. I think I understand. I shan't go into the question of your understanding the media,
mm-hmm.
Because you are there already.
Yeah.
Power FM, as you said, et cetera, et cetera. That I understand. But then, now the question of MDDA.
Yes, sir.
Do you understand what it's got to do, its mandate, et cetera, et cetera, and what it envisages to the giving effect to the people of a country?
Yeah.
Not only at this level, but beyond the borders of Parliament.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Honorable Mandisha, on that. So my understanding and my appreciation for the MDDA stems from the meaningful work that I've done with Power FM in the past 3 years. And for me, it almost reflects a microcosm of what can be done largely across the community, in the South African community. I've seen a group of the black middle class, if those LSMs are anything to go by, become empowered, become people that are able to engage everything about their lived experiences, from politics to culture to spirituality to lifestyle issues, but to really participate in how the black narrative is sold, particularly because we do speak to a largely black demographic. So my interest in the MDDA stems from that, and also then understanding the politics that comes with, you know, not being able to access information, not being able to produce, content as well, content that is meaningful. So I understand the MDDA in that context.
I do understand. Pardon me for, rushing you through. The chairperson is going to kick me very soon.
Okay.
You have spoken about politics.
Yes, sir.
On a number of occasions.
Mm-hmm.
Kindly go on with that. The very many areas in the past we have seen persons in MDDA, in other realms of communication being taken away and following a particular political persons and or parties. Are you not going to be in the same kind of category?
We mentioned integrity earlier, and I'm obligated to take a very neutral stance when it comes to how we convey messaging as far as public discourse is concerned. But what I mean when I speak about politics or the politicization of people is that when we are giving access to people to engage on particular conversations, not necessarily in the political landscape, but I do think that it does translate to how people realize themselves, how people navigate their lived experiences, and unfortunately that's not mutually exclusive to their politics and how they realize their politics, so I meant it in that context.
Thank you very much. Thanks,
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Honourable Madisho. Honourable Van Dijk.
Good day.
Good day.
I see that you have no board experience, but you definitely have experience working at radio stations. So my first question would be, what are the advantages of digital radio for community media? That basically, what are the motivators for moving to digital radio? And I also want to know from you, would you like it to first answer before I go to the next question?
No, you can go on to the next one.
All right. Then the next question will be, what are the challenges impacting or threatening the sustainability of community media? And the next question is, how many community television stations do we have in the country? Which stations are those, and what role do you think MDDA has played in ensuring the establishment of these TV stations?
Okay.
I just want to know, did you complete your articles?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Yeah. May I proceed? All right. What's the importance of digital media, particularly radio, if I'm correct?
Sorry? What are the advantages of digital radio for community media?
All right. Well, I think, obviously, the trajectory of our media landscape is moving towards digital. And it's becoming the most feasible way of communicating at mass, because then that means that it's accessible to everyone and we don't have issues of geographics where you would have that issue, for instance, with the stations like the one I work at, where we're a regional radio station and our reach is really limited by those geographics and those licensing issues. So I think to have a conversation or to be able to expand your reach is certainly a benefit, and it's a merit to our communities. And I also think it cuts the classism that laces sometimes, or at least I observe that there's a classism that laces our media landscape. And I think with a digital space, everyone is equal in that space, or at least we operate, behind these smartphones or behind laptops. So I think it really creates a very inclusive conversation, and people are, included in how they participate in that public discourse, but also in how we reshape and reconstruct our society. Second question you asked, the challenges that the community media faces. All right. I haven't been in the community media space. I haven't worked in it. But I certainly think it resonates with the social media calls such as Data Must Fall, Open Up the Industry, where people have opened up these conversations and, these hashtags to call for a largely open and inclusive media landscape, because they feel that there are members that are marginalized. So I think it would respond to that call as well, that there is a group of media practitioners, storytellers, who are on the sidelines and aren't taking place, or aren't participating in the larger conversation. And that obviously would speak to, lack of access to funding, being endorsed, social capital, and really bringing their content out to be appreciated by a large audience. Can I go to the third one? How many community TV stations? Oh, all right. So I know that the MDDA is currently working with 4 community TV stations, if I'm not mistaken, which I think is really, you do have to commend the efforts, but I think it's really small because there's so many other, production houses and opportunities to really open the industry when it comes to community TV.
Actually, 9. Can you mention a few? Do you know any of them?
I think... I've got it on my notes, but then that would be... let's see. Yes, it's Cape Town Community Television, Eastern Cape Development Corporation Television, Swanwick Community Television, and 1 KZN TV. Those are the 4 that I've noted. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Van Dijk and Honorable Kalako.
Thank you, Chair. Afternoon, Ms. Ganga.
Afternoon, sir.
Look, Bongil, I want just to ask, you are a practitioner on the field.
Yes, sir.
We share 5 minutes together. Can you just take me through a founding legislation of the MDDA? Just mention it, 1, 2, 3.
So in what sense? Do you want the objectives of the MDDA?
No objectives. Just what are the founding legislations or acts, their names, which govern the MDDA?
Access to Information Act, ICASA, it escapes me.
Are you aware of the MDDA Act?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. So I needed those who support that the MDDA.
Okay, so like GCIS, well, that's my own act, but yes, the GCIS.
Then I'm sure we have been following the discussions around media, especially, and around issues of licensing.
Mm-hmm.
How has ICASA, are you aware they put a moratorium on community radio licenses? How does that affect this sector we're talking about?
I'm not quite sure. I'm not queued up on the momentarium that you've mentioned.
Yeah, okay, thanks. You see, there is this transition,
mm-hmm.
or this migration, which we are behind as the country,
mm-hmm.
moving to from analog to
digital.
How does that, if we were in fact advanced, or if we implement that, how will it affect community radio and community TV?
Well, I don't know if it's mutually exclusive to transition from analog to digital, and then, you know, as a result of then nullify the existing channels and mediums of communication. In fact, I think it would elevate or improve their reach, and obviously people would access it, you know, more people rather would have access to those mediums,
yes.
according to my understanding.
Yes.
Thank you.
3 or 4 assessment criteria, which is used by MDDA in allocating funds to projects. What are those criteria?
It would be a project that is community-based, that is invested in including marginalized groups in the media projects, and in that way also translating to, you know, socioeconomic interventions or solutions by making those communities participate in the economy and in how these stories are told.
I'm sure maybe again you have been following what is happening in the MDDA. They have been in the public domain. If you are appointed a board in the MDDA, what will you change? At the moment, the board of the MDDA is in crisis. If you are appointed, which affects even running of things, governance issues there, if you are appointed, what do you think will change?
Well, I mean, I represent, actually, let me not say I represent, but I'm quite invested in, I think I've mentioned, especially in the beginning, opening up the industry, but also I really do believe that when people are in charge of telling their own narratives, they're able to self-determine and participate in how we transform and change the trajectory of our own lives. So we become participants in how we change our socioeconomic, you know, status and our communities ultimately and consequently. So I think a big part is to focus on that value chain, and obviously it would start from what projects do we fund, are we really in touch with, you know, the community and what kind of projects that they want to, you know, to pilot? Do they have, you know, any merits in building society? So I guess it would be a matter of being very pedantic on the kind of projects that we bring on board, that we endorse, but also to be more active in the funding.
Okay, then just last question, Chair. How many community radio television channels do we have in the country?
Whoa.
Oh, if you don't know the number, you might not know the number.
Yes.
Can you mention those you know?
Community radio stations?
Television.
These four. I literally, and Soweto TV, I think it's still a community television station, and the four that I've mentioned to Ms. Van Dijk.
Those are
the other. Oh, shall I repeat them? Okay. So it was Cape Town Community Television, Eastern Cape Development Corporation Television, Tshwane Community Television, and 1KZN TV.
Hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Dose. It's now your turn, Honorable Member.
Yes, Chairperson. I really have one question, and that is, you see, the big chunk of what MDDA does fund people.
Hmm.
Do you have any new ideas of how this funding could be made successful in terms of who it funds? So your answer is going to depend on whether you know what's happening or not. So if you're going to repeat the things that are happening, surely you know they are failing. Have you thought about it? The new thing that ought to be done for MDDA to really start funding things that will be successful in diversifying our media.
Thank you, Mr. Ndozi. And certainly to answer your question, and my answer is not an indictment on the MDDA as it stands, but I certainly do think, as with any other organization that, you know, funds projects and initiatives, I think one of the major things is being neutral and understanding the...
So you can't answer it if you don't know what has been happening. You wouldn't know whether your idea is new or not. Am I right?
Yes, but the approach...
Why do you want to be in the board of a body that a large part of what it does is to give funds to diversify media ownership, to give voice to marginalized people, when you don't know what has been happening to those funds and if you have any ideas of how the funds that you will be distributing should you be in there might be used properly? According to the experiences now, we should actually just close MDDA down.
Mm-hmm.
It's not succeeding. Mm-hmm. What is it that you're going to do that is new? Why are you trying to be in the board if you haven't thought about it?
I have thought about it, Mr. Josie, except I don't come proposing myself to be a savior to the MDDA, except I do understand...
The MDDA needs salvation, Ms. Gunn. It is failing. It is on its knees. It is a body on its knees. Most of the projects it funds fail. I don't know if it's fair for us to put people on the board who have not thought about that basic question on the basis of the experiences thus far. Maybe that's the only question I have there. Is it fair for you to ask us to put you in the board when you haven't thought about that? I mean,
give
you
me
don't
an opportunity
know
to answer, though.
Okay. But the answer depends on what you've already admitted. You said you don't know how has the funding been, which projects. So you can't tell me anything new, or can you?
But I do know the challenges of people who are wanting to break through into the industry. And I understand that funding is a big part of it. And bodies like the MDDA are, of course, contributors to that frustration. That's why we have social movements, well, social media movements like Open Up the Industry, Data Must Fall, and all these things, because there's a whole other plethora of people in this country who are frustrated creatives who don't have access to...
Sister, now you are in the board.
Yes.
Okay? You have an opportunity. What is it that you are going to do that has not been done to fund successful projects. It's very basic. That's the first task you're going to be faced with when you get on the board. Which projects do we choose that we haven't chosen before, or what criteria do we use to improve and make projects successful, or what do we do to make the projects that we fund successful? That's the basic fundamental question that anybody should impress upon us.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on your knowledge on what has been done. Otherwise, you're going to repeat, because if you don't know that history, you're bound to repeat it.
First, be accessible. There's a lot of people that I've spoken to prior coming here who don't even know of the MDDA. And these are middle class, well, you would assume that, you know, they're in touch with these things and they've got the information and access to it. They don't know that it exists. How much more people who are marginalized, who are in communities where this information really isn't readily available, as it is to people who are ignorant to it, where it's actually at their disposal? So firstly, be accessible, because I think a big problem is that MDDA is expecting people to come to it, and it's not seeking, you know, to find, it also doesn't have an eye to opportunity. I don't think it should be a one-way relationship. I think it should be the other way around as well, where you also go out to the communities, you see what people are doing, there's a lot of information, sharing of ideas, creative storytelling on the ground that's not being tapped into. And unfortunately, if people don't have access to it, or they don't even know that the MDDA exists, that's the first problem. So apart from the other issues, I would speak to that first, being accessible, two, having an eye for opportunity, three, fairness, and four, distributing monies based on merit and on work that really speaks to the development of our society through content and content sharing.
Yeah. So you mentioned datum of fall.
Yes.
I just want to understand the relationship between what the MDDA does and that project. And when you're on the board now, what will you be saying MDDA must do with data?
I think MDDA has an opportunity to have a healthy relationship with your telecommunications companies. It has more influence with your ETASs as well. I know that there are community projects where they're trying to share data amongst themselves, but because of those ECASA licensing restrictions, they can't really do it to its fruition. So I think it's a relationship building, a communication building, but also fighting on behalf of the people that are really frustrated about data. Data doesn't only just speak to, you know, the people that are hashtagging it on social media because they want to press likes and retweets, but it has educational benefits. There's opportunities for informal education on when you've got, you know, wireless, and access to other mediums, because not everyone has access to Mzansi Magic, for instance, to get the best of, you know, what is called the best of, you know, South African content. But if people were to open up and start their own stories and tell their own stories through docs and web series, you're able to share that information and those stories more.
So the MDDA must fund web series.
Not necessarily fund web series.
But would it be fine? Is it one of the things that the MDDA should be doing? Would it be to fund web series and stories that end up on Science Magic or SABC?
That was just an example, but yes, one out of many other things. But what I'm saying is, if it is in line with the values of the MDDA and it speaks to diversifying and... you would have to exercise your discretion, like any other commissioner.
Thank you very much. No, okay. I withdraw. Thank you very much, Ms. Ganga. Anything to say to members?
Thank you very much for the opportunity. It was a very challenging experience. It's always good to have a new challenge. So thank you.
You don't have a question?
No. I have no question.
Thank you.
I mean, Mr. Nzuzi grilled me enough. I just want to
thank you very much.